things he had done, how he had accumulated wealth and everything. And he talks about how that was vanity. He goes on the third chapter. He talks about there's a time for all things. And he just goes on and on through this. And I believe Solomon was an older man, close to death when he wrote Ecclesiastes. And I can't prove exactly how old he was. I can't even prove exactly how old he was when he died. Most of the time when the Bible will say when so-and-so died, he was so many years, and they'll tell you. But with Solomon, it says he reigned 40 years. In the 1 Kings in the 11th chapter, you'll find out at the end of it. He reigned 40 years, but it don't tell you what age he was when he started reigning. I think the Jews claim he was 12 years old when he began to reign. Most claim, Josephus and the writers there claim he was probably more like 30-year-old when he began to reign. I would probably go more along that way myself, but I don't know because the age, 30-year-old. But it's hard to say who he wrote this book to. Most of the time at the first of the book, you can find the writer and who they were writing to. But I do find at the end of the book kind of who he wrote to, and you might not know exactly. But he, if I give a title to this, it would be Fatherly Advice, I guess. I'm thankful that I had a good dad that gave me a lot of advice through life. I wish my dad, and I'm being honest, and I wished I'd done the same thing. Don't nobody think I'm talking about my daddy. There ain't nobody loves their daddy any more than I love my dad. I still love him. He's gone on to be with the Lord. I'm going to be with him someday. But I followed around. I was one of them kids that when daddy'd take a step, I was right behind him. You know, trying to take the same. I love my daddy. And he always gave me a lot of advice, but I wished he would give me more biblical advice. That worldly advice is good. He told me one time when I wasn't doing good in school, he said, "Son, the world needs ditch diggers." Well, I ended up being a ditch digger. He was correct. And the world does need ditch diggers. And there's no shame in being a ditch digger. If you're a ditch digger, you be the best ditch digger you can be. That's all I know to tell you. But us dads, we kind of leave it up to the mamas. And I believe it is up to the mamas to keep the house, raise the children, teach the children. We might read a little bit about, but I think us dads need to give some father advice when it comes to church and spiritual things. Y'all pray for us. I thought I was just going to read a few verses, but I really, sitting back here, I feel like I need to go back and read this whole chapter, the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. So I see he's down, he's summing everything up to what he said through his whole book. And I tried to read through this book this week. This has kind of been on my heart all week, so I probably overstudied it, if anything. And if I apologize if I did. I don't have a whole lot to bring out in this, but sometimes we can overstudy something and take the Spirit of the Lord plumb out of it. And I pray I don't do that. I hadn't done that. But it says, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while thy evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders shall cease because they are few. And those that look out in the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets. And when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up with the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of the music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be burdened, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, And the mourners go about the streets, and old ever or ever the silver cord be loose and the golden bowl be broken, and the pitcher be broken, and the fountain of the wheel be broken, and the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise and he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed and sought out to set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and the nails fastened by the master's assemblies, which are given by one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished in making many books. There is no end. And much study in awareness of the flesh. Let us hear the consolation of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And with the mistakes we made reading, that's reading the whole chapter, 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And the 12th verse is the only place I find Proverbs. You'll find where Solomon over, I think, 23 times said my son in that. You read Proverbs, he's over and over making sure he's talking to his son. He says, my son. But this is the only place in the book of Ecclesiastes he says, my son. And it's in that 12th verse. And he said, furthermore, by these, by all this, not just this 12th chapter, the whole book of Ecclesiastes, he's saying, I be admonished and making many books, there's no end. And I had a hard time and much study as awareness of the flesh. And last week I mentioned about I need to read more. And there was one or two give me advice. I just need to read the Bible, not commentaries and all these things. And I want you to know that's true. He said there was much weariness in studying. That ain't got a whole lot to do with my thought, but I got to touch on it a little bit. I used to wonder about that. Why is there weariness? We're to study to show ourselves approved. I don't get that, Lord. I don't understand that. I've read that over and over and over, but I finally saw something I'd overlooked over and over and over. And it said, to books there is no end. And so listen to me. Right here, I hold the word of God. This book did begin and it did end. You take nothing to it. You add nothing to it. You take nothing away from it. So he's not talking about the word of God and study being weariness. He just talking about books, period. And there's nothing wrong. My daddy gave me good advice. There's nothing wrong with learning. I sat around, I'll tell you right now, I don't read a lot of books, but I Google more than anybody in the world. I'm constantly Googling something. How to fix this, how to take care of that, how to do this, how to do that. I'm sitting reading. I go through these forms. I'll be working on a lawnmower or a tractor. I don't even just go watch a video. I'll go sit and read for 30 minutes what everybody else thinks about, what's wrong with it. And most of them don't know as much as I do. You just get worried, wore out, get tired of reading. It's all just vanity. There's nothing wrong with being, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with having an education and studying and reading. There really ain't. But I want you to realize when he got down to it all, he told them how he said, how I've done this. He talked about in the book of Ecclesiastes how him being king, he was going to leave it to one of his children, one of his sons. And I believe he may have been talking to Rehoboam, the one that followed after him here. But listen, and even him, he knew, hey, Rehoboam, Solomon's son thought to kill him. I want you know he had to go hide in Egypt from his daddy. He sure did. You'll find it in that 11th chapter of 1 Kings. So he knew everything he had accomplished, everything, all the wisdom and knowledge he had accomplished. It was all vanity if somebody come along and messed it up right after behind him. So here he is. He's given all this book. He even talks about being drinking wine and strong drink in this book. He's telling his son, don't do these things. This is all vanity. He's giving him some godly advice. Don't waste all your time trying to learn and have more knowledge about everything in the world. Spend more time on godly things. He talked about, if we'll go back there and you'll read, y'all pray for us. Pray that the Lord help us with this. I don't want to mess this up too bad. I don't want to mess it up at all. He said, in that 11th verse, the words of the wise are as golds and nails fastened by the master's assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. So the words of the Lord is what he was getting down to. He was getting down, he said, it all comes down to this, son. Listen to me. And I want you to listen to me today. I wish my children were here. I wish I would have taught them more from the Word of God. I wish I would have set them down like a good daddy would have done. You listen to your daddies. Don't fail your kids like I did mine. You take them up when they're little bitty. You teach them the Word of God. You teach it to them in the morning. You teach it while you walk through the day. You teach it when you lay down at night. You teach your babies the Word of God. Because really when it all boils down, we're at the end of our life. That's what Solomon, I believe in all my heart. I believe he was sitting there, an old man. He was a man that had done accomplished more than any other man I know of. He had riches beyond half had not been seen. I want you to tell you, this man had accomplished things. But when he was sitting there as an old man, getting ready to die, talking to his son, writing him a letter, I love you, son. I want you to do better. All this stuff is vanity. When it all come down to it, when it nothing, the only thing mattered was to fear God and keep his commandments. And this is the whole duty of man. And if you'll do that, everything else will work out. Some have said I've never saw the righteous standing back. Honey, God will provide for you if you'll serve him. You can be a ditch digger. And you can live. So there's people I've ever trained here. You know, some people make quilts. That's honorable. It's good to make quilts. That's a good job. Some sell insurance. Can't say I'm crazy about every insurance salesman, but I love this one. I can tell you that. She's one of the sweetest ones I know. There's a mother that's become insurance. I love that one there. There's some of you do this and some of you do that. All this, a lineman. Ain't you thankful for a lineman when your electricity goes out and it's snowing outside or storming? Ain't you thankful he comes along, climbs a pole in danger, turns your lights back on? There's some of you teachers, and boy, that's a good job. Some of you nurses. I mean, there's people of everything. But the main thing is being a child of God. All the rest of it, every bit of it's just vanity. I want you to know you can gain $1 million. I see it all the time. People gain a little bit, and when they die, you know what happens? You know what their children do? They end up fighting and fussing over it. They end up separating the family over a few dollars. And I ain't telling you, look at me, but when my mom and dad died, they had a little money stuck back. It wasn't a lot. And my sister said, what do you want to do? I said, whatever you do with it, it's fine with me. I wouldn't fall out with the only sister I had left over a dollar.
I promise you, listen to me, all this stuff is vanity. All the money you pile up, they show it all the time. These graves, a poor and a rich man, they're dug the same. Everything. And we all want our children to do well. You show me somebody who don't want their kids to prosper. I want you to know, Solomon said over and over, God wants you to have fruit from your labors. From the work you do, he wants you to prosper from it. But I don't believe he wants you to be like Solomon was in the second chapter. You go back and read it over and over and over. What that wise man say? I did this. I done that. I accomplished all this. I did it all. Most of us today, that's exactly how we feel. We look at around what we got. And I've done this and I've done that. I sat down there on the porch with an old man named Bernice Freeman, my mom's dad. He probably had more than most, but you would have never known it. Grew up, wore a pair of overalls, lived in an old house. We'd sit out there in the evening and swat flies on the porch. In the morning, sit and wait for it to get daylight to go to work. And every time that man's mouth opened, I was just like, because I thought he was the wisest man ever lived. Some of the advice he gave me was good. It really was. And I remember some of it. Some of it was like some I've probably given my children. It wasn't so good. A lot of it he gave me was just vanity. But he loved me. He saw a boy. He wanted to do well. If you listen to me, daddies, if you really love your children, give them godly advice. I won't marry a couple that I cancel them. I don't care who they are. And when I cancel them, I try my best to give them godly book advice. I try to tell them the things me and my wife has went through. But more than anything, I try to tell them what the Bible says to do about it. Not go to bed angry. Don't let you go to bed when you're out. You get things worked out, all those type of things. Listen, we need to teach our children. Daddies, listen to me. Sit down with your babies. You say, well, my children are not grown. It ain't too late. Solomon, listen to me. Here he is. I believe to be an old man. And he's trying to give his son advice. He's wrote this whole book, and he gets to the end of it, and he says, listen to me, son. Listen to me, everything you gained, all the knowledge you gained in this world, all the money you've gained in this world, everything you've gained is just vanity. Let us there hear the consolation, the end of the matter, of the whole matter. Fear God. For a long time, I served the Lord completely out of fear. I still serve him out of fear. I ain't gonna lie to you. You better serve him out of fear too. But for a long time, I served him because I was afraid what he would do to me if I didn't serve him. Anybody else like that? But then I began to respect him. I began to love him more. He began to be more of a daddy to me. I began to depend on him more. I miss my dad so much. Used to. I needed something, I'd call him. And y'all heard me say this, but something would help my electrical, and I'd be in yonder trying to figure it out in the electric box. You know, first, our old house had fuses, and it didn't have a breaker box, had a fuse box. I'd be in there trying to figure out what's going on, why it ain't working. I'd go call Daddy, and I'd say, here's what's going on, Daddy. What do I need to do? Do I need to take this wire here and do this right here? And he'd say, stop. Don't you touch nothing. He said, I'll be there in just a minute. And here, I'd see him drive up, and he'd pull up. He'd get out, and he'd come in yonder, and he'd fix what needed fixed. And he'd say, if you have any more problems, you call me. See, that's what my daddy wants. That's what our father wants. When it's something we don't know what how to handle, he just wants us to call him. Yeah. He wants us to say, oh, Father, I don't know what to do about this. I have no idea what to do. I have no clue what to do. And he'll say, hold on, I'll be right there. And all of a sudden, he'll make it so clear to you. He'll take care of it. He said, he told him, said, you tarry here, Jerusalem, till you endure the peril die. He knew they needed him. It ain't changed. We need our Father. We need his advice. We need his guidance. We need to teach our children when you don't know where to go. What else to do? Go to the Lord. Fear him, yes, but don't serve him out of fear. Serve him because you love him. I ain't gonna lie, I feared my daddy. There was a time too, he took me out there by an old smokehouse. And there's a reason I feared him. He gets your attention. But I told you I loved that man so much. I followed his steps. I walked behind him. I want to do the same thing with God as a 60-year-old man. I want him to walk in front of me. I want to walk in his steps. You know what I want? As much, if not more than that. I want my children to do that. As I get older, I feel like Solomon, the gray's coming in my hair, wrinkles is coming on my face. I don't move around as good as I used to. I'm starting to feel older. And I'm starting to feel like maybe I'm that older guy that can give some advice. I would love to see my children serving the Lord. I'd love to see my grandbabies get saved and serve God. There's nothing wrong with leaving something behind for your children. I think we should. The Bible teaches us we should. But leave them more than just a little money, because it's just going to burn. It's all vanity. 1 Thessalonians, I meant to read this for a text. I don't know why, but it just went all. This has went a different way. And the second chapter, 11th verse, says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his children, that you should walk worthy of God, who have called you into his kingdom and glory. Amen. He said, this was their advice. He said, this is how we're talking to you. This is how we're advising you as a father does his children. If you're going to do that, give good fatherly advice. That was something they understood. I promise you, they got it. A good daddy will provide for his family. I believe that. He'll work hard. He'll bring home food to feed the children. He'll try to take care of his wife. There was a man asked me the other day, he said, are you cooking, cleaning? washing? I said, I'm washing and I'm cleaning. She don't want me cooking. So thank y'all for bringing some food along. But a good daddy does these things. Your children ought to be able to... Your children ought to be able to see their daddy loves them. A good daddy will lay his life down for his family, for his kids. My daddy, when I ain't brother, him got hooked up in that electricity, got electrocuted as me. That's the reason he said, don't you touch it. A good daddy, a real good daddy, will give his child that you can become a child. They ought to see something about us. They ought to see a love about us. They ought to see nourishment about us. We should raise them up in that way. Oh, I failed so many times. I got a few things right, but that was only by the grace of God. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. In other words, don't always be a jerk. Don't fuss about everything. You ever seen a daddy like that? Sometimes I'm that way. Ain't nothing they can do to please them. Have you ever seen that? No matter what, they're always fussing about something. You don't provoke them to anger. You don't get them to where they don't believe they can do anything. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. We're to teach your children. Raise them up. Be an example to them. Do the right thing in front of your children.